Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni is covering the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, talking about the Air Force's budget for 2017 and what we can expect to see in it. Scott, Secretary Carter says that the 2017 Air Force budget will invest in space, cyber, and nuclear deterrence. Those sound like pretty futuristic type investments and very long-term strategic planning type things. What do we know is prompting this kind of thinking for the Air Force and for OSD?
Last November, former Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced the Defense Innovation Initiative. Its aim was to pursue innovative ways to sustain and advance U.S. military superiority. With that policy, the long-range research and development plan was also implemented, and that explores and develops unconventional applications of technology to advance warfighter capabilities. These priorities have been only exacerbated now that Carter's taken the helm as defense secretary. Carter's considered a technology wonk who likes to invest in these space and cyber portfolios. We've seen this with his outreach to Silicon Valley in the past few months, and he's been using the Defense Innovation Initiative to harness the power of these huge tech corporations like Google. So Carter explains why these technologies are important at the Air Force Association's Air and Space Conference Wednesday at National Harbor, Maryland.
We can't ignore the overall trend. High-end military technologies long possessed by only the most advanced foes are finding their way into the hands of both non-state actors and previously much less capable militaries. It's evident that nations like Russia and China have been pursuing military modernization programs to close the technology gap with the United States. They're developing platforms designed to thwart our traditional advantages of power projection and freedom of movement. They're developing and fielding new and advanced aircraft and ballistic, cruise, anti-ship, and anti-air missiles that are longer range and more accurate. Just as Russia and China have advanced cyber capabilities and strategies ranging from stealthy network penetration to intellectual property theft, criminal and terrorist networks are increasing their cyber operations. Low cost and global proliferation of malware have lowered barriers to entry and made it easier for smaller malicious actors to strike in cyberspace.
Carter also mentions investments that revolve around anti-access area denial platforms, guided munitions, and intelligence surveillance and reconnaissance. These are investments operational commanders are advocating for, so it's clear that Carter's been listening. The combatant commanders consistently say they're in need of more ISR, and cyber is more of a threat than ever, as we've seen with the hack from the Chinese on the Office of Personnel Management.
Now, nuclear deterrence is like a Cold War throwback kind of thing. That sounds more like something that we'd be thinking about 20 to 50 years ago rather than in the coming fiscal year.
Yeah, it does sound like that. But commanders have consistently warned year after year that North Korea and Iran are nuclear threats to the United States and its allies. And just recently, North Korea issued a threat to the United States saying it was ready to use its nuclear weapons at any moment. How capable North Korea's nuclear arsenal is remains debatable, but military commanders are taking the threat seriously. Russia and China have both been modernizing their nuclear forces, and at the same time, Russia's been violating the New START Treaty, which reduces the number of nuclear weapons in activation. The United States still prescribes to the deterrence theory, and that theory states that nuclear states will not act on other nuclear states for fear of retribution. Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work's taken the flag on this issue of modernizing U.S. nuclear forces. He says the U.S. needs to modernize now or risk losing its deterrence capability in the 2020s or 2030s. That modernization comes with a hefty price tag, though, of $1 trillion over the next 30 years, and that price peaks around the mid-2020s at about $27 billion a year.
What is the role of sequestration playing as Secretary Carter and others at DOD are making these preparations? Congress, budget showdown, all of those kinds of things.
Right. So it may not seem too important considering that we're talking about fiscal year 2016 now, but sequestration is the law of the land until 2022. So by signaling his intent to double down on these investments, Carter's bowling through Congress and making plans if sequestration didn't exist at all. So he has strong words for Congress on this issue.
The Department of Defense has done its best to manage through budget uncertainty in recent years, making difficult choices and trade-offs among the size, capabilities, and readiness of the joint force. But as I've discussed today, over that time, Russia and China have advanced their new capabilities. And new imperatives, such as ensuring a lasting defeat of ISIL, have emerged. In this kind of security environment, we need to be dynamic and responsive. What we have under sequestration or a long-term continuing resolution is a straitjacket. We would be forced to make irresponsible reductions when our choices should be considered carefully and strategically. Making these kinds of indiscriminate cuts is wasteful to taxpayers and to industry, dangerous for our strategy, unfair to our service members, and frankly, it's embarrassing around the world.
The Obama administration used this same tactic for fiscal year 2016 when it gave Congress a budget that exceeded the sequester caps. The 2016 defense budget comes close to $600 billion. Still, though, DOD officials claim it's not enough to handle the current global threats.
Secretary Carter also talked about acquisition. What did he have to say in that area, Scott?
Carter stresses the importance of faster acquisition to the military.
The current needs are particularly apparent is in the need for agility. One of the things that's been a big priority for me and Debbie and Mark and the whole team has been to connect us to the technology base in a way that continues the proud tradition of being the first, as I say, the firstest with the mostest with new technology. But when I started my career, all the technology of consequence originated in the United States, and most of it originated in sponsorship of the Defense Department. That's not true anymore. There's still a lot that we do and a lot that we build and innovate and create, but not everything. And so we need to be able to build a bridge to a wider world of technology.
Normally, that wouldn't be such a big deal. It's pretty well known that DOD has been trying to accelerate its acquisitions. However, Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James just announced a new program to speed up military acquisitions. The Should Schedule program will be incentivizing companies to deliver faster by making them compete in the design and development phase. A company that can offer a faster way to engineer and manufacture will gain an advantage in being awarded a contract. James said that some of its small programs, like the Advanced Precision Kill Weapons System, will be candidates for the effort. So that's something to look forward to in the future. And we have that story on Secretary James's new schedule program linked up at federalnewsradio.com.